pass comes in from Marcelo. Dotted down in front, controlled by Jesus. Running on to it is Coutinho!
Chicharito dropped it back. Give and go. Chicharito from Ronaldo. Here he comes. Hernandez leads it. Lozano! Cutting, looking, shooting. Lozano! Go! Mexico leads!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is the 2 hours of post-game World Cup coverage here. This is a show called Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and we're going to try to provide a little bit of entertainment here after what we don't believe might have happened on this day. Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo both exit the World Cup here today. Earlier today, it was 4-3 France over Argentina, and we just witnessed 2-1 Uruguay over Portugal. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in during the show. We are at the gorgeous Gale. This is 5555 Morningside Drive. Again tomorrow, there will be more matches here. Our good man Peter over here, who runs the gorgeous Gale, tomorrow more World Cup action will roll on. We'll break it up over the next 2 hours. We'll give some Houston Dynamo tickets away. We will give some other sort of gifts, T-shirts, mugs, all kinds of things to give away. But most importantly, we're going to break the World Cup down and we'll take your phone call. So if you're out and about in the car, 713-780-3776, again, is the number. So let's start it off with earlier today, France taking on Argentina. We were expecting one of these teams to step up in the World Cup. We weren't sure what we were going to see from Argentina. In the end, we got a 7-goal thriller in that one. Let's go 13 minutes in. It's Griezmann from the penalty area, and it would be 1-0 France.
He's got help, too. He may not need it. Uh-oh. That's got to be a penalty. It is. Griezmann ready to strike. Griezmann, goal! France leads.
So the French coming into this, certainly a talented team. It's one of the most expensive teams in the entire World Cup as well. It's also very young. Questions around their maturity and their leadership and their age. But Griezmann would put them up 1-0. Di Maria in the 41st would tie things up for Argentina, who started this game without an actual striker. Sergio Aguero not starting. Higuain not starting as well. That provided some questions for everybody in the world of commentary. So here's the tying goal through Angel Di Maria.
Banega into the middle.
And it goes through players, Hugo Lloris, with no chance.
Messi would be involved at the beginning of the second half in the Mercado goal, and this would make it 2-1 Argentina, and Argentines thought, all right, maybe we're galvanized and we're going to find our game at this stage of the World Cup in the round of 16. Here's Mercado's goal to put Argentina up 2-1.
Blocked, settled. Messi, the shot. Messi with a goal! A moment of magic, unless it was deflected in front.
That's a helpless feeling for a goalkeeper as it finds the back of the net.
All right, how about the 57th minute, Pavard? It's only, I believe, his 9th or 10th appearance for France. Young guy, plays for Stuttgart in Germany. Hits sort of a slashing side volley. Dips his left shoulder. And he brings the French back, makes it 2-2.
Hernandez with a step ahead, played it across. It's settled, fired, tied.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Stunning goal by Benjamin Pavard.
Yes, it was stunning. At that point now, it's 2-2, and then a 19-year-old is going to introduce himself on the World Cup stage. Kylian Mbappe would get his first of two, this one coming in the 64th minute. If you follow the French League One, that's where Mbappe plays for Paris Saint-Germain. So here's Mbappe putting up France 3-2 against Argentina.
It bounces in the box. Blocked. Quick shot. Go! In. Mbappe.
4 minutes later, he gets another one. It makes it 4-2, France.
Open on the right. And they're up by two.
What a great build-up. And what a great goal.
Some ways reminds me a little bit of Ronaldo the Brazilian in the old days. So at that point, it's 4-2. Consolation goal for Sergio Aguero. We're going to find out why, in fact, he didn't play more in this game. Aguero would get the final goal for Argentina here.
Messi on the ball. Putting one in there. Headed down! Argentina have come back!
This point makes it a little bit nervy. It ends 4-3 France, and of course, Edinson Cavani with two goals, a 2-1 win for Uruguay over Portugal. So Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, two of the biggest stars in the World Cup, both make their exits in the round of 16. So 713-780-3776. If you're out and about in the car, let's get your thoughts on today's games here. We'll start, right now can be with either, but let's start with a little bit of Uruguay and Portugal. I think the first 45 minutes, Uruguay playing as perfect a game as they can. They're not conceding any free kicks to Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo, not conceding corners. That would change in the second half. That was a big part of it, eliminating the dead ball situations for Portugal in this one. Team shape, they were compact, defended well as a group. Got numbers around Ronaldo, and in the end, he was pretty much dulled during the run of play. Portugal would come out in this one with Ricardo, Pepe, Fonte, Rafael, Bernardo Silva, William, Adrian, Mario, and then Ronaldo and Guedes up front. Portugal with the center-back pairing of Godin and Jimenez, who play at Atletico Madrid. Vecino, Torreira, the two central midfielders, exceptional in the first half, and then Suarez and Cavani. First Uruguay goal, to me, the goal of the day. I don't think any question, the first Uruguay goal. It's about a 50-yard switch of play from Cavani to Suarez. Suarez is pulled out on the left. Cavani immediately takes off for the back post. It's an absolute pinpoint cross. He pounds in the header. To me, the goal of the day. Absolute perfect execution. Eye-popping goal. That would give Uruguay the 1-0 lead. Things would get tied up on the Pepe header. And then in the end, it would be Cavani again, punishing a mistake. If you remember, off the goal kick, the header not dealt with by, I believe it was Pepe. Ball falls gratuitously to Uruguay. They find Cavani. We're all going, okay, is he going to bend it into the far corner? And it's exactly what he does. Cavani goes off injured. That's something to watch going into the quarterfinals. Boy, what a day of soccer. It's going to just keep rolling on tomorrow. And we'll begin to preview some of those games tomorrow in the second hour. Naib Moran of ESPN FC, he's written for them. He's focused on the Mexican national team and Liga MX. He will be joining me up here shortly. We will continue to take your phone calls. Let's go right now to Christian. Christian, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Glenn Davis. How are
you,
sir?
I am good, buddy. I'm always good when the World Cup's on. What's on your mind?
Nothing much. I just got, like, one big question that's like a two-parter. When it comes down to the World Cup, and I know that we reached down to the round of 16, which is now the round of 14 with two of the biggest teams being eliminated, which do you think has been the most disappointing moment of the World Cup so far, and what do you think has been the most glorious, the most successful moment of the World Cup so far? It doesn't have to be on the field or off the field.
Most disappointing probably is, and it's not disappointing to a lot of people, the exit of Germany, I think, and the fact that a manager as tactically sound, who's the best international manager in the world over the last 12 years, Yogi Löw, over the course of three games against Mexico, against Sweden, and South Korea, cannot adjust his team to kill off the counterattack from opponents. That, to me, was the most stunning thing that I have seen in this World Cup. The inability to correct what would happen to Germany when they would lose the ball in transition. It was absolutely stunning to me. It was stunning it was never corrected in the Mexico game. It went straight on through to the South Korea game. South Korea, Sweden, Mexico all had glorious chances on the counterattack against Germany, against purportedly the number one international manager in the world and the most successful international manager in the world over the last 12 years, and a manager that has taken Germany to everything, World Cup win, no less than semifinals in all the major tournaments. So that, to me, was the most stunning and I would say slash disappointing, because my mother's name is Nesselhoff. The most glorious thing is the absolute amount of goals scored in the group stages, 2.5 goals per game. There were 30 goals scored from the 80th minute on. Now, you think of that as a soccer fan. You think of that to mainstream people that maybe aren't interested in soccer. If they see a lot of late goals, it's entertaining. It's exciting. 20 goals from the 90th minute on into stoppage time, which is remarkable. Four 90th minute goals and then 16 in stoppage time. So you had 30 goals scored from the 80th minute on. That's called the Late Late Show. That's called a lot of fun. Anything else, Christian?
Nothing much, other than the fact that, you know, thank you for all the great commentary that you and Kobe Jones have done in the World Cup. And, you know, I hope you get more chances to do some international soccer action in the future. And other than that, I will talk to you on social media at Glenn Davis SLC.
Christian, thank you very much, and get some rest. We got two more rounds of 16 games tomorrow. All right, let's keep things rolling here. Do we have any more callers, Harrison? All right, number to call in, 713-780-3776. Let's get your thoughts on Uruguay's 2-1 win over Portugal. For all you Portuguese fans who are big Ronaldo fans, today you have to tip your hat to Uruguay. Took the edge off of them. Especially in the first half, because first half, Uruguay did not concede free kicks and corners. Second half did, with Portugal, I think, taking the game to Uruguay. That's when Ronaldo's dangerous, extracting the dead ball situation out of the game for Portugal. To me, was a big issue going into this. I would say it was very successful in the first half for Uruguay. I would say in the second half, Portugal made a heck of a push. So there we go. Let's go to House. House, what's on your mind? You're on the air. House, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, I'd just like to talk about how much Suarez flopped. I mean, the amount of times that he went down was honestly irredeemable.
Well, oh boy. I mean, that's what you took out of this game? Suarez flopping? Nothing about Edison Cavani. How about the two Cavani goals? Would that be a little bit more of a good talking point than Suarez diving?
No, I thought Cavani played well, but it was just Suarez flopping every single second that he could.
Oh, well, come on. It's honestly a defense mechanism for those guys. Ronaldo does it as well. Every team's got guys who do it. I mean,
Ronaldo does, but he plays with a certain class and essence that I think that most people can recognize as talent, whereas Suarez kind of just throws his face on the field and lets the grass do most of his fighting.
Well, you're obviously a big Ronaldo fan. I would assume you're a Real Madrid fan as well.
I don't know if it's so much Ronaldo as much as class as football playing.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Why would you not look at the game and say why he was or not effective, Ronaldo and Suarez? I mean, I get the whole diving thing. It's passé to me. It's all subjective. You think he's a diver? Yeah, he's a diver. A lot of people dive. So tell me more about the game, though. Give me some meat. Give me some meat and bones and potatoes here. You know, why was Ronaldo taking the edge taken off him today, in your opinion? Because you like Ronaldo.
Well, to be honest, I don't think Ronaldo played that great today, but I think that the
Why didn't he play that great? He didn't go out there not to play great. Tell me why he didn't play great. What did you see? Because I know what I saw.
I guess he hustled well. I mean, he played better than Messi, but I don't think that it was so much his shot for goal.
So now we're going Messi and Ronaldo after a 2-1 win against Uruguay. Is that what you're doing to me? You're going now you're comparing him to Messi. Guess what? Him and Messi are both out of the tournament. You didn't answer my question.
Kane, so let us rejoice in our English fellows and honestly just, pray that the best team wins.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pray tonight. All right, thank you for the phone call. All right, come on, have a take, for God's sake, please. If somebody asks you a question, why is it Ronaldo wasn't effective today, why would you take me to Lionel Messi? He doesn't even play on the same team. He's already out with Argentina. 713-780-3776. I'm Henry. I'm over here at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. Got a nice group of fans still in here. We got Dynamo tickets to give away. We got Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 mugs. We got the promo team in here. If you come up and you can do a spin in a wheel here, we're going to do a raffle for tickets and other items. 713-780-3776. What do we got, Harrison? All right, let's go to Tyler. Wants to talk Portugal, Uruguay. Tyler, you got to lift your game and be better than the last caller, please.
Hey, what's going on? Long-time listener, first-time caller. So did you see this whole Supreme Court thing? Hopefully Trump chooses a good candidate to fulfill it. I'm really hopeful about it, but, man, we're lucky. The second one.
So, wait, say that again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Say that one more time.
The Supreme Court justice, the second one, Trump gets to fulfill. How lucky can we be? I mean, we're really blessed by that. But who are you thinking?
I have no idea what he's saying. I have no idea what he's asking. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So we got word on... apparently, from Uruguayan TV, that Edinson Cavani has a hamstring injury. He's got 6 days to recover before taking on France. So that's coming straight from Uruguayan TV. So it all depends on the degree of difficulty, but a hamstring is not a good one. My thanks to that blank clown that just called in. 713-780-3776. I think we're going to take a break here. The famous... Yvette Caceres-Willis just walked into the house here. We'll take a break here on ESPN 97.5. Before we go to break here, hey, just a quick reminder. We're out here at 5555 Morningside Drive. This is the Gorgeous Gale. It is the official Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 World Cup headquarters. Two more games tomorrow. So don't forget that. Quick word here for Bud Light. The World Cup's here. The games are going to be played during working hours. So when you're at work, there's only one thing that's going to be able to help us survive this catastrophe, our friends. With them, it's easier to sneak from your boss, make up excuses, and extend your lunch break to 90-something minutes. Here's to the friends you can always count on. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup. And Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's take a break from the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from FM Kitchen on Shepherd, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From FM Kitchen on Shepherd, here's Glenn Davis.
Now we are at 5555 Morningside Drive here in Houston. It's in Rice Village, and we appreciate the Gorgeous Gale. We've been out here before. This is the home of the Liverpool supporters group as well. This is a wonderful spot. Good friends with Peter and company out here. So having a great time. If you're out and about on the town, you want to come in here and listen to some live soccer talk. We are giving away tickets. We've got all kinds of goodies here to give away. I just want to remind people, this first hour is brought to you by the Texas Children's Hospital. Now, I go down there. I do a lot of charity work at Texas Children's Hospital. It is one of the shining stars here in Houston. At Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center, is the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. So think about that. It's right here in Houston, Texas. We have over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. So amazing things go on down there. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit, relies on generous donations. Our friends in the community donating, they have a 501c charity wing called the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. All right, we're going to keep it going here. We're going to go back to the phone line, 713-780-3776. Boards are lighting up here. Let's go to Juan. Juan, what's on your mind today on a first round of 16 day in this 2018 World Cup from Russia?
Hey, man, I think you're giving Suarez too much credit. I don't think he's that good at soccer. And you're not taking into account Mexico and Chicharito and how they're going to do, because Suarez, they did good because Ronaldo took. That's the only reason, man.
Well, Juan, let me tell you this, man. I happen to be talking about the Uruguay-Portugal match, so that's why I'm not talking about Chicharito. I'm breaking down the Uruguay-Portugal match. So
I know.
If you've listened to this show before, you've heard me absolutely lauding and praising Chicharito, because I'm assuming you're a Mexican fan, right?
Yeah, Viva
so,
Mexico.
So, Suarez. But
Suarez didn't do much for a superstar. He's not that good, but Ronaldo took. And you see, Messi also took. But Chicharito, numero uno, senor.
Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for that very unbiased opinion on some of the world's great soccer stars. I appreciate your passion, though, Juan. It's good. They're all dangerous in their own right.
Don't worry about it. Chicharito, they'll take you to the World Cup.
All right, so I appreciate that from Juan. It was Suarez who actually hit a tremendous ball for the goal. All right, so that was interesting from Juan. So we got Chicharito fans. We know that in Houston. And by the way, Chicharito to me is the real leader of the Mexican national team. But I'm not talking Mexico and Brazil yet. We're talking today's round of 16 for the moment. We can take general comments as well. Let's go to Emery. Emery, what's on your mind?
Glenn Davis, how are you doing, sir?
I am very good, sir. Juan just reminded me about Chicharito and Mexico getting ready to take on Brazil eventually in the round of 16. What's on your mind?
Let's talk about how great Uruguay's defense is.
Okay.
I think they played a really great game today. I mean, no disrespect for Ronaldo, but I really think Uruguay just played an awesome game, and I'm riding them all the way to the finals.
Okay, so we're talking about a couple of things that for the listeners, you know, we were at a table, Naib Moran and a bunch of us, talking about Uruguay. Uruguay knows exactly who they are. They have the same manager as they've had for quite some time. I think it's 10-plus years, maybe 12-plus years, Tabárez. He knows exactly what they are. They know exactly what they are. Jiménez and Diego Godín, who is the captain, are two center backs that play for Atlético Madrid. They know each other. I mean, one guy sneezes, the other guy is getting the tissue for him. I mean, these guys know each other. Okay? They have played against Cristiano Ronaldo many times. I would say the first half could not have gone any better for Uruguay. I would say the first half was absolutely a masterpiece of 45 minutes. They got the game's first goal. Ronaldo did have one decent look at goal, didn't strike it well. But for me, the difference in the first and the second half was they did not concede a lot of corners. They did not concede a lot of free kicks. Extracting that part of Ronaldo's game and that from Portugal, to me, was important today. Second half, though, you have to give it to Portugal. I think Ronaldo had moments where you thought he was going to be dangerous, and then you saw people come up with incredibly timely, big interventions, big tackles. But this was not easy by any means. I think Portugal pushed the game, and certainly we know that Uruguay is a deep defending team, but at times I thought they were just getting that little bit deeper. Muslera dropped the ball that he should have held. That was a little bit of a nervy moment. But overall, yes, the characteristics of Uruguay is that they're not going to give much away. That was the first goal of the tournament they've conceded on the Pepe header.
I 100% agree with you.
Well, see, okay. Well,
I really think, I mean, I've watched quite a bit of the World Cup, and I just don't see anybody being able to beat Uruguay. I really don't.
All right, well, you're on record for that one. I like that. I like people that come on the air and are on record for what they believe is going to happen in the World Cup and make some predictions. It makes it fun. I don't think anybody for a second didn't disrespect Uruguay coming into this tournament based on how they can scratch, grind, claw out games, have two world-class strikers up front, even though Juan doesn't believe that, who I just called a few minutes ago. Juan didn't believe that, but he doesn't like Suarez. And then we had another guy focusing on his diving. And I'm surprised they didn't mention his penchant for human flesh. So I don't know how that could have got by those guys, but I guess apparently it did. And then I had some guy trying to give me some political rhetoric for a while. So we're moving on from all of that. All right, I appreciate your phone call. We're going to keep it going here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Do we have anybody else, Harrison? All right. We're going to go to break now. We'll continue to take phone calls. When we come back, Naib Moran will join me from ESPN FC, and we're going to continue to break down games. And we want your calls, though. We want your opinion here in Houston. If you're out and about and you're driving around in the car, let's talk about the World Cup. The group stages have been incredible. We're into the round of 16 now, and we've just seen the two superstars of the tournament. No two players in this tournament have been given the drum roll bigger than Lionel Messi of Argentina and Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal, and guess what? They are both done in the 2018 World Cup. Before we go to break here, a quick word for my friends at Advantage BMW. They are in Midtown. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW. The drive is exceptional on these cars. That's why they call them the ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series. But for me, what's important is customer service. I'm not the guy who opens the hood and can change the oil and, you know, all that stuff. Customer service is key to me. Sales, service, finance, it can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW downtown, bmwhouston.com. And the guys down there love the sport. So when you hear my sponsors on this show, these are people that love soccer. So what I would say to you is, if you're going to watch the World Cup, watch it at places that put money back into the game. And I would say that's my sponsor. So I'm being a little bit, I'm shilling for my sponsors here, but the reason I'm doing that is that's why I'm on the air. And that's why we're in mainstream radio on ESPN 97.5 and talking the World Cup today. So keep that in mind. 713-780-3776. We're at 5555 Morningside Drive. This is in West University. We'll take a Bud Light break. We'll come back for more. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 World Cup Edition rolls on. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're at 5555 Morningside Drive here in West University. If you're out and about on the town, come in. We've got more games tomorrow here, and we'll talk a little bit more and preview the round of 16 a little bit later on. We got former Houston Hotshot, which was the pro indoor team in the 90s. Olivier Finidori later will join us on the show. He's from France. He's a very happy man today because the French 4-3 winners here today. Naib Moran is going to join me right now, and then a little bit later on, we've got more guests, and I'm looking for something here. Again, we're 5555 Morningside Drive, and if you're out and about on the town, come on in. We're giving away some tickets to the Houston Dynamo. We are also giving away some other goodies here. The ESPN promo team's here. A little bit later, also Federico De Michelis from Buenos Aires. He has a podcast called Toto Dynamo. He will be on the show as well. So we welcome in Naib Moran. Naib, how are you?
Good, Glenn. Fantastic so far, the World Cup with surprises, I think, especially in the group stage. And now hoping that the surprises continue in the round of 16. I mean, I think that's kind of what we're hoping for.
You've heard Naib before on the show, formerly of ESPN FC. He was in Mexico covering the Mexican national team and also Liga MX. Now doing a podcast called Risotera Wave on the YouTube channel. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well,
what is
I mean,
that?
I think that's mainly a continuation of what I've been doing. You know, I've been doing the Liga MX coverage in English. And, you know, while living in Mexico City for 3 years, I met a lot of people down there. So, I mean, we try to do a bilingual podcast where we talk about Mexican football and Liga MX, do some analysis there about the league and try to work with both languages, you know? I mean, we have that kind of gift of being in the U.S. and also Mexico at the same time.
Beautiful thing, and welcome back to Houston. Many of my listeners have heard Naib before. 713-780-3776. So we can talk about today's results, Uruguay 2-1 over Portugal. We can also talk about the game in the morning, France 4-3. Now, many of us, I think, were gripped a little bit by fear, Naib, because sometimes you get into the knockout stages, teams get incredibly cautious. I would say we have seen two pretty well open games here. We've seen, we've seen a total of 10 goals here in two games on the first opening round of 16 days. So let's hope this keeps going.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking, for example, at Uruguay, Uruguay hadn't conceded a goal in the group stage, and today they conceded one, but they kept the identity going, and they scored. You know, Cavani had a fantastic game. Suarez had a fantastic game. The formation of 4-4-2 that Tavares put on today with Portugal, I think, really, you know, it enabled them to get the victory. And with France, I mean, France were waiting for this exciting young team to kind of erupt. And I think today we got a taste of it with a brace by Kylian Mbappe. And Pogba had a fantastic game. You know, Pogba so criticized this year with Manchester United. And today a big game there over there in Russia. And, you know, elaboration of a young, talented squad we saw with France.
So let's talk a little bit about Uruguay first here. Torreira and Vecino, you said to me before the game, these were key changes here from Tabárez. In the middle of the field here, it certainly was very effective in the first 45 minutes.
It was effective, Glenn, but I was looking back at the lineup against Russia, and I think he played with three in the back. He played with Cáceres, Cuates, and Godín.
As laterals.
And then the same, Lachalde was playing on the left, but you saw the same names. I mean, Nández was in the 11 against Russia. Torreira was in the 11, Vecino, Betancourt. I think what he tried to do today was work out the midfield and try to be more compact in the midfield. That's, I think, what he did with the 4-4-2 by putting, you know, Torreira in the middle, Vecino, Betancourt. I think in the first two group stage matches, Betancourt was a little bit back, and today he was more forward. And as we saw in the second goal, Betancourt was actually the one that gave the assist to Cavani. So I think that enabled him. And Nández, you know, he's not your typical wingers. I mean, as you see the midfield, these are more central midfielders, not so much as the wingers.
That's their game. Yeah. I mean, their game is being compact. Their game is team shape. I think that's, I think in the first half we saw an incredible example of it in the first 45 minutes because this is why it's so difficult for Cristiano Ronaldo to do anything during the run of play. I think in the second half, as they got pushed back, I thought I saw Portugal penetrating a little bit more. Yeah. Now they're getting corners. Now they're getting set pieces. Now it gets a little bit nervy. But look, this is a team that clearly knows what they are.
Yeah, and look.
And we can talk subtle changes all
they
we
call
want.
It the, you know,
this,
they call
is a, this is a team that doesn't concede a lot.
They call it Uruguay defensive. I mean, that's what everyone thinks. Uruguay is ultra defensive. But today, Tavares' three substitutions were actually offensive substitutions. He puts in Sanchez, who's more of a right midfielder, right winger, capable to attack. He also puts Cebolla Rodriguez, who can play a little bit on the left and also, you know, cross into the box. He almost had a goal in the last seconds of the match, they just after the Suarez pass. And then Stuani comes in for Cavani. Stuani had an excellent season in La Liga with Girona. So these were three offensive substitutions from Tavares. But it's just the identity.
It's also it's not necessarily to score a third goal. It's to get the ball back
and
in many ways too.
Half fresh
legs. I mean, if we would even compare that, let's just say, in a very different way to the Houston Dynamo, it's when Wilmer Cabrera takes off Ramel Kyoto or Albert Solis.
It's over, kind of.
It becomes very different.
Different. There's no offensive.
Those guys can also be part of managing a game out for you, and that comes down to a manager and their choices.
But it tells you a little bit of Tavares being there for so many years already. He knows his players. He knows what Uruguay plays. The players follow his leadership. I mean, I know they see Tavares like a god.
He's a god-like figure, for sure.
Father figure, grandfather figure, whatever you want to call. So, you know, and that's why, for example, today Cavani leaves with an injury. He leaves with an injury because he did so much sacrifice And being a defender at times as well.
Yeah, let's talk about – he's Naib Moran. He's joining us here. Been a great guest on the show over the years. We have to talk about the effort, and I would say more so Cavani than Suarez, but both of those guys come back as two strikers vertically to help defend and help work and control the game. There's entire ethic throughout this team. There's nobody who takes plays off. Everybody's totally engaged, emotionally connected, mentally connected throughout a game for Uruguay, and I think that's also why people fear them.
Yeah, no, and I think definitely a player like Griezmann, whose teammates with Diego Godin and José María Jiménez, he's a little bit concerned. You know, he knows that these players know how to play good defense. They have this identity of, you know, always fighting and biting. You know, it's going to be an uncomfortable game for France. It's a total opposite from the game against Argentina where, you know, clearly in the second half, after the second goal that Mercado scored for Argentina, France elaborated a lot of play. There was a lot of spaces, you know. This is a midfield that is young and hungry, the Uruguayan.
Oh,
you know,
France is going to have to step up in the quarterfinals against Uruguay because they faced a dysfunctional Argentina. They conceded three goals against them. This is a very well-defined team here. They're going to invite France in. They're going to look for chances on the counter and moments to pounce. And I think this is going to set up what's an amazing, because you just mentioned all the connection of teammates playing against each other.
Yeah, and look, a lot of people are going to say that not having Cavani is going to hurt Uruguay's chances. And
well,
it
hold
might
on,
happen,
hold on, hold on. Before we write him off, we can't write him off. We're not doctors. All we've heard is he's hurt a hamstring. Hamstring's a bad injury. I'm hoping that this isn't the case. This would really spoil the quarterfinal if Cavani's not there after what he did today with the two goals. So let's assume he's not out yet.
Yeah. But, you know, it's difficult. You try to, like, see what's going through Tavares' mind, because he's certainly thinking right now, what if he's not available? You know, who do I put? Do I put Stuani in? Do I put Maxi Gomez in? You know, and these are two great strikers. I mean, they're just not at the level of Cavani because they're still, you know, Gomez is younger than Stuani. I think Stuani is more of an experienced striker. But, you know, all those little details right now are certainly going through Tavares' mind.
Yeah, I mean, this is it was a tough moment seeing him go off, honestly, because I thought he was spectacular today. I want to go back to the opening goal of this game. This is best goal on the day by far to me, because it's Cavani who hits about a 45, 50-yard diagonal ball to Suarez. You see him take off. You see him. He's saying to myself, look, I got to get in the box ultimately where the ball's going to be. Gets to the back post off guys who are focused on the delivery, kind of off their shoulders. And Suarez hits an incredible ball, and it's headed in. And I mean, that just was a classic eye-popping goal to me involving two strikers. Now, remember, that's your two strikers who built this play up from about 45 yards out from a goal, and it included two longer balls.
No, it tells you a little bit also of the game plan. I mean, I think they studied Portugal's defense, you know, with Fonte, Guerreiro, Pepe there in that part of the defense. And as you saw, the cross came into the far post. Guerreiro is not going to be a guy that's going to be towering up you and heading out, you know. So Cavani came behind Guerreiro. So it's really important to defend the far post. You know, sometimes they think that the center is always going to come in the center in the heart of the box. But most of the ones that tend to make a lot of, you know, danger are the ones that come on the far post, either on the right or on the left.
Well, but that's classic. We see that. We see that in every round. We see that every weekend in football worldwide. Is when a ball's out wide, defenders have to shift. They have to look at the ball and watch the cross or the ball. They got to somehow find out
who's coming
behind them,
you.
Who's making the runs. You've got to be very responsible, accountable. It's difficult. But his run hit the right area, and his run met the perfect piece of delivery. It's all about timing. It was a classic goal between two great strikers. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Come out here. 5555 Morningside Drive. This is in West University. This is the official Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 home here. We've got another six live shows, including tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll be right back in business here. Tomorrow we're looking forward to seeing more great matches. I don't know if they can top today, though, Naib.
You know, the Russia-Spain, you know, it has that, you know, enchantment because Russia's the home team. You know, I think Thiago Alcantara said it pretty good yesterday. I mean, it's not going to be against 11 Russians. It's going to be like thousands of Russians going against thousands of Russians.
Yeah, you know, I
think
that.
Russia entered this tournament as not being a favorite. You know, a lot of people had Egypt going into the round of 16 instead of Russia. I think Russia surprised a lot of us.
Yeah, but clarify that. A lot of people had Egypt going into the round of 16 before Mo Salah got injured.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true.
I think that one comes with a little bit of an asterisk.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah, I mean, you saw good performances from Denis Cheryshev, no? Denis Cheryshev was on the bench in the first game against Saudi Arabia. I think one of the Russian players got injured, and he got in, scored two goals, and now he's one of the most different players in Russia. You know, I think it adds another dimension to the team as a whole. You know, Denis Cheryshev, he grew up in Real Madrid's youth system. You know, plays in Villarreal, basically a Spaniard, basically, Denis Cheryshev, who ends up playing for Russia because of his origins, and he was born in Russia, but made all his life in Spain. So I think it has some flavors, and Spain hasn't been that good.
It has some great flavor to it, and you're right. We never know what playing for your country in your country means. And then, on the other hand, I think Spain has had some shaky moments, even though they're a very seasoned back four. I think as a team, they've had some shaky moments defensively.
This is a World Cup of the rebirth of the number nine. What do I mean by that? I mean, you got Harry Kane, you got Lukaku, you got Chuba from Russia, you got Diego Costa in Spain. You know,
Cavani.
Having that Cavani, Suarez, you know, having a number nine up top, it kind of got lost a little bit. There was a time that it got lost because everyone wanted to emulate Barcelona.
It was lost for most of the game in Argentina's game today, exactly. This morning against France.
They wanted to return, but
until they brought on Sergio Aguero at the end of the game. Oh, yeah, we do have a center forward. He's not bad. The guy who plays for Manchester City, yeah, he's not bad.
I mean, in Argentina, they don't have an Iniesta and Xavi to accompany a false nine. Or Eto or Terry Henry. You know, so, I mean, it's we'll see. And then the Croatia-Denmark game should also be fantastic. Now, I think Croatia has been, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it's been fresh to see Rakitic and Modric do so well.
Modric has had an unbelievable tournament leading Croatia. He's got some off-field stuff going on, too. So it's
Mandzukic has been phenomenal as well. Another player that can play.
Mandzukic, who's played as a wide guy at Juventus, is back in the number nine role. Yeah. So Croatia is one that a lot of people are really, really talking about a lot right now. Don't concede a lot of goals. Very tough, very hard men. And have enough quality going forward. A lot of riches in midfield for that team. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. Now, I would say if anybody who's in here at the Gorgeous Gale, the chances are you could walk away with something here because, you know, just, I mean, I'm looking at the, you know, you could walk away with a prize here if you have put your name in the hat over here. So there's a really good chance. 713-780-3776. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. 5555 Morningside Drive. It is the Gorgeous Gale. My good friend Peter Kingston. This is the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. A lot of the Liverpool guys out here today. And we'll take a quick break. We'll call it a Bud Light break. We'll come back. We got a lot more to talk about here.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's 5555 Morningside Drive. That's where we are, and this is the beautiful, gorgeous Gale. Great food here, great spirits, great whiskey selection. And today, this place was packed with fans watching Uruguay knock Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo out. Earlier in the day, it was Argentina getting dropped 4-3 by France. So the two most touted superstars, global superstars, who were hoping to lead their countries to glory, both eliminated here today. Let me just tell you what those wins today for both France and Uruguay did. It's an additional $4 million into the pockets of both of those countries advancing to the quarterfinals. So you get into the World Cup, you get $8 million, you get some seed money of $1.25 million to get prepared. I mean, you only have to show up for your three games to take away $8 million. So when you think of the United States not being involved in this tournament, It was an $8 million hit, and that's before we even begin to talk about sponsors and everything else. So this is huge financial money that's being played with here in this World Cup. 713-780-3776. Let's get your phone calls. Best goal of the World Cup so far? Do you have one? Let's think about it. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Cesar. Cesar, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, long time no see, man.
All right. Well, I don't know if you can see me. Are you in the gorgeous Gale?
No. Long time no hear and see. I haven't seen you in a while. That's why.
Excellent. Thank you for calling, Cesar.
What I think would be I would like to see Maxi Gomez if Cavani can't play, because he actually had a really good season with Celta Vigo this year, scoring goals other than Aspas. Or I would like to see Christian Rodriguez come in the midfield and maybe push Suarez up top. Christian Rodriguez can actually play more on the flank and help give crosses into Suarez. That's what I would think if Cavani can't play.
Well, they could always move into a lone striker as well and play somebody behind Luis Suarez. But that's we're assuming, and I don't want to assume that yet, although I do know what hamstrings are. Hamstrings are tricky. He's got 6 days to respond. But I think this Uruguay, France, as Naib and I were talking, Uruguay, France is setting up in a great way. It will set up in kind of a disappointing way to me if Edison Cavani can't play.
True. I totally agree with that. And then I kind of want to see what your take was on tomorrow's game. I'm thinking Spain's actually going to come out with a 4-4-2 playing Aspas of Costa, giving, I guess, a more feet up front since they've lacked the last couple games. Shots on goal, they've been trying to just pass their way through like the tiki-taka days. So I don't know what's your take on it.
Well, the first game, I think, for one thing, you always have to respect the fact that Russia, as the host nation with the nationalistic pride, everybody behind them, they're going to grow a couple of inches. They're going to be chasing everything. They're going to play like animals, I would believe. And they're going to do everything they can to break Spain's rhythm, kick, foul, clutch. But I just think there's too much quality, too much experience on Spain to be overawed by this. That said, I think their game has to platform to another level of sharpness, another level of competency. Their backs, including Sergio Ramos, have looked susceptible at times. They've given up some goals. So I think Russia goes into this. They have nothing to lose. They play for their country. They play for pride. I think they're going to be a dangerous animal. Second game, Croatia and Denmark. Denmark, team that doesn't give a lot of goals up, solely dependent on Christian Eriksen. And then there's Croatia, which, you know, I mean, Luka Modric, some could say right now, is the player of the tournament in many ways. And that's because of his overall two-way play in midfield. So I'm picking Croatia in the second match, Spain over Russia, despite the fact that they'll have the nationalistic support. Let me ask Naib Moran that. Your predictions on the two games, Naib.
No, I do see Spain and Croatia coming forward in the quarterfinals. But I think Cesar, it's interesting what he brought up about Aspas and Diego Costa starting, because Chino Silva has been quietly criticized on his level. He hasn't been sharp, so it's a possibility. You know, I think Isco has been Spain's best player so far. A lot of key passes into the box and a lot of elaboration of the play with Iniesta. Silva, I think, is the one that's kind of left out there, and that's a possibility. Spain has a lot of options.
But you don't
think
David Silva starts?
Yeah, David Silva could not start, and then they put in Aspas and Costa. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know what Cesar is thinking.
I kind of agree. I feel like they're going to take Silva out. They're going to bring in Aspas, and then Iniesta last maybe 65, 70 minutes, and then maybe bring in Koke or Silva off the bench.
Yeah, I think that's another issue with Spain. I mean, they have to find someone to be with Sergio Busquets. It used to be Xavi Alonso. Of course, Xavi Alonso is now retired. But is that player, who's going to join him? Is it going to be Thiago or is it going to be Koke? Koke is more defensive because, as we've seen, it's
like
Atletico.
More of a six or an eight?
More of an eight, I would say. And you know, I think Busquets.
What's that?
I also like Saul. Saul can play both positions, too.
See, I mean, it's just a plethora of options for Spain.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful to be the manager of Spain? These are called champagne problems, Caesar.
Problems. One question. How do you guys feel about the head? Do you think he deserves to be replaced, or do you think he still needs to be in goal?
Who's that?
De Gea.
Oh, De Gea.
No, he stays in goal.
Yeah, I mean,
who do you want to replace him with? Because of his one mistake?
A lot of people have been saying he's been like that since before the World Cup. He's been making mistakes with the national team. See, a lot of people are saying Kepa should be replaced as he's the future. I don't know.
We'll trade Willy Caballero and bring him over for Argentina, and we'll let him play in goal for Spain. How about that? How do you like De Gea now? Do you like De Gea now?
I love De Gea.
All right. Don't bag on De Gea. The guy made a mistake in the first game. His back four hasn't particularly been as defined and playing with as much conviction either. So, you know, these are the slight things that can throw people off. Cesar, we want to see you down here at the Gorgeous Gale. I got to hit a quick break here. Thank you very much. Great phone call. Love that, getting into the tactical side, and we appreciate that. Texas Children's Hospital. This first hour is presented by them. We really appreciate all that they do. They're a gem here in Houston. The Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, it's the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials. This is all dedicated solely to childhood cancer and cancer treatment and blood disorders. 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital pioneering the standard protocols now for treating and curing childhood cancer. We had a wonderful banquet. Tom Clare, noted author from Manchester, England, helped us get over the legendary goalkeeper Alex Stepney. We raised some great funds, raised tremendous awareness for the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. So our big thanks to Texas Children's Hospital. Let's take a Bud Light break. Let's come back. We got more to talk about. 713-780-3776.
FNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station, ESPN 97.5.